Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Psalm 44. We read in connection with the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Psalm 44 is an importunate prayer, a prayer to God to bless His kingdom and church as it is under the persecution of her foes. Psalm 44, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand and plantest them, how Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my King, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through Thee we will push down our enemies. Through Thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But Thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise Thy name forever. Selah. But Thou hast cast off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest Thy people for naught, and dost not increase Thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten Thee, neither have we dealt falsely in Thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from Thy way. Though Thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretch out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for Thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake! Why sleepest Thou, O Lord? Arise! Cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest Thou Thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for Thy mercy's sake. We read also in Psalm 102, at verse 13, similar petition. Psalm 102, verse 13, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For Thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth Thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. Then in the New Testament, we read in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We give thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who, verse 13, Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now it's on the basis of these passages of God's Word that we want to consider this evening, Lord's Day 48 of our Heidelberg Catechism, page 26, in the back of your Psalter, as it explains the second petition. So each of us then opening the Psalter, back section, page 26, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48, and question 123. What is the second petition? Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which exalts itself against thee, and also all the wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, the second petition of our Lord's prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, is a prayer that arises from the battlefield of faith. It is the cry of a soldier, not a soldier who's on the parade ground, but a soldier who is being shot at and shelled, one who is in intense spiritual combat. It's the prayer of a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's their prayer, our prayer, as we seek to be loyal to our Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life. But foes come up against us to rule. Lust and anger and peer pressure are trying to press us away from our loyalty to obey the rule of Jesus Christ. And therefore it is the prayer of those who are finding themselves assaulted, not only by unrighteousness in the world around us, but from within our own life and heart. And therefore, and it is the cry, therefore, Arise, Lord, and help us. The second petition, Thy Kingdom Come, is when we call upon God to advance His cause. Not only to advance that cause in us, to rule over us as His children, but we say, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We pray, Lord, send forth Thy word to build Thy kingdom and gather Thy church. Preserve Thy church from her dreadful foes. Keep her from apostasy and indifference. Send forth missionaries. Keep Thy church here and throughout the earth faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Defeat all of the counsels of the devil who is plotting against the Word of God. And it is to pray for that day when the battle is over and the victory of Jesus Christ breaks over our head, and when we shall be before Him in peace, and He shall be all and in all, and God alone will be glorified. Up to this point in the Lord's Prayer, we have been at home in Father's house. We have been taught to address God in confidence and reverence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We learn that we who are orphans and castaways and wretched sinners have been adopted as God's dear children in the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore we have been given the right to enter into His holy sanctuary of prayer, to that place which is high and lifted up and which is ruling over all the world tonight. And Jesus taught us to come to God, the ruler of all the world, and pray as a child of the King will run across marble floors right up to the throne of the King and sit upon the King's lap, His Father, so also we are to come with confidence and with holy reverence in our prayers. And we have now expressed in the first petition the deepest desires of our heart, the first thing that rises to the top of a born-again heart. Hallowed be Thy name. O God, be God to me. Give me rightly to know Thee, to sanctify, to set Thee apart, to glorify and to praise Thee. Lord, if Thou art hallowed in me, that will be the balm. That will be the strength. That will be the calm in every storm. That storm, that's everything I need. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:29, according to my earnest expectation and hope that Christ shall be magnified in me, in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now when we come to the second petition, Thy kingdom come, the scene is changing. We are still at the door of God's throne. We are still His children. We still want His name to be hallowed. We still are placing our stock. We are putting the treasures that we want for our heart is God and not the vanishing things of this world. That is all true. But we are on earth. We are so often governed in our hearts by our pride. Our pride every moment is trying to push God off the throne of our hearts and to put our own self on that throne. We are so often unsubmissive to the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to us tonight that the cause of His dear church is going backward and the church is weak and apostatizing and retreating and conforming to the world. The church wants to say that we will conform to the dreams and to the desires of this present world. And it seems that there is a wave of blackness that the devil has sent upon our society to take over men's souls and minds. And so, in the midst of that battle, we now cry out, we plead, Father, Father, Thy kingdom come. If in the first petition our prayer has a sound of awe, hallowed be Thy name, then in the second petition, against the background of a war, our prayer has the sound of a plea, of a cry, Thy kingdom come. Consider the petition from the battlefield. Following the catechism, we are praying, rule me by Thy grace. Number two, advance Thy church. And then three and four, which will be briefer tonight, destroy Thy foes. And finally, bring the day of victory. What are we praying for now when we say, Thy kingdom come, children? What are you praying for? When you close your eyes and you squinch them and you think hard, Thy kingdom come. What do you mean? Do we mean Christ's return from heaven? Is that what we mean? Yes. But we mean more than that. We mean, Thy kingdom come in me. Rule us by Thy word and spirit. That's what we mean first. What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God found? And the answer is from Scripture, the kingdom of God is the sovereign rule of God's grace in the hearts of all of God's children. The Catechism points us in this direction. The Catechism says, "Rule." The petition means, rule us by Thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee. Therefore, wherever you find the Word of God ruling in a person's life, and wherever you find the Holy Spirit working through that Word, you have found the kingdom of God. That's God's kingdom. It's the rule of His grace in the hearts of His children, so that we submit more and more unto Him in everything we do. God's kingdom in the Bible, and that's not the reference now tonight, but God's kingdom certainly is the kingdom of His power. We may think of God's providence. We may think of the truth that God is King of the earth. He rules over all. And so there is not a maverick molecule in the universe. There's not one molecule in the whole universe that does not obey Him. He is the Lord of hosts. All the heavenly hosts and all the hosts of earth do His bidding. Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." He rules, therefore, over Satan and over his enemies, despite themselves. And here we have Psalm 2 as our authority, that messianic psalm, when the kings of the earth take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds from us and cast their cords away from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Yet have I set my Son upon the holy hill in Zion. He is King forever." But we're not praying now about that. In that kingdom of His power, overall, does not come thy kingdom come. That does not come. That is. That always was. That always shall be. God is King forever. We're praying for the kingdom, the establishment of the kingdom of grace. We're praying about souls becoming submissive to His Word. We're praying for a rule in ourselves by His Spirit and Word. So the kingdom that we're praying for is that kingdom found wherever God's Word, God's Spirit, God's grace holds sway over hearts, wherever sinners bow the knee unto Jesus Christ with loving submission in all of their life. There the kingdom has come in its power of grace. And there the King, Jesus Christ, holds His scepter and sway. Faith and repentance in Jesus Christ and a godly life follow in the wake of this kingdom. This kingdom is the kingdom in which we desire to live like Christ and show Christ and call people to Christ and to renounce their rebellion against God. This kingdom is about fleeing away from worldliness. This kingdom is about living one's life so that we're always ready when our King will come for us. We're always ready to report to Him. This kingdom is all about allegiance to Christ. It's not a political kingdom. It is not a kingdom that's seeking to gain influence upon earth among nations. But it is the call of God's grace, making His children submissive to God to live in this world a life of faith and love before the King. "Rule me," says the Catechism, "by thy word and spirit." That kingdom comes. That kingdom is being established. That kingdom is right now. That kingdom is already now on earth, and yet it is coming. Jesus in His parables speaks of the kingdom of heaven. and describes the kingdom of heaven as that which is a present reality and yet something that is coming. He says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds that a man would take and plant on the earth, and it grows into a great tree. It develops until the birds of the air make their nests in this tree. The kingdom is now on earth because it is represented in the church. The church represents the kingdom of God. The Catechism says, to pray thy kingdom means preserve and increase thy church, because through the church, the kingdom of God is advanced. And therefore, the kingdom is now. The kingdom of God comes now in conversion. It comes in regeneration. You remember what Jesus said, unless ye be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is established through conversion, through regeneration. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not come by social justice in third world countries. It does not come by the renewal of government institutions or the establishment of utopia in human society. It comes by grace, by the Word, and by the Spirit of Christ, as the church brings that Word in our life and in the preaching of the gospel. That kingdom is now represented in our children. Remember, children, what Jesus said? Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is now, and yet it is progressing. It is progressing in the onward march of the gospel of Jesus Christ, until at last the kingdom of God is fulfilled. And so therefore, when we pray, we're praying for the advance of the gospel and for the spread of the word and for the gathering of the church. So, now, what are we praying? Thy kingdom come. When we close our eyes and when we think, thy kingdom come. What thoughts ought to be in our mind around which we make our prayers? We ought to be thinking this. Lord, King of all, send the sword of thy word and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that by thy grace thou dost conquer and bring thy children from afar into thy kingdom. And Lord, rule in me, so that I submit myself in everything I do to Christ, till at last that kingdom is established completely and Christ returns in His glory. And the Catechism then is pressing upon us that we begin with ourselves, as the Catechism's whole emphasis is personal. Thy kingdom come, what does that mean? Rule us. Me. By thy word and spirit, so that I may submit myself to thee. It's not, first of all, bring the day of Christ. That's true. It's not, first of all, rule over the whole world. That's true. But rule over me. Because in each one of us is a kingdom. And in your kingdom, and in my kingdom, we sit on the throne. We sit on the throne of our hearts and our pride, and we oppose God. And it's only the mighty power of God's grace which conquers, bends the knee of proud rebellion, and enthrones the will of Jesus Christ upon our hearts. And therefore, we pray for that. Of course we do. We pray that His rule be extended over me. Rule over me more and more in my heart, so that I bow before Christ in what I do. So that when Christ says, put away that lust, that anger, that hate, that bitterness, put down your weapons, stack your arms of self-defense and stubborn will and hardened heart. It is the Lord is speaking to you. When the King says, believe and trust, not your way, but the way of the Heavenly Father. When the King says, don't fear. When the King says, obey. Thy kingdom come. Rule over me by thy word and spirit, so that I more and more submit my life to thee. And that rule, of course, is not only, it begins inwardly in our hearts and in our affections, but it proceeds in all of our life. Rule over my money. Thy kingdom come. We will willingly then support the causes of God's kingdom. The causes of God's kingdom are His church, the schools, missions, the needy, our Christian homes. Will we pray, Thy kingdom come, and then use our monies that God has given to us as stewards and use them for ourselves and for my own little kingdom? Will we use our monies, first of all, for more of the vanishing world? Will we spend our money so that we can attend the causes that will support the kingdom of darkness? If we pray, Thy kingdom come, we pray that we will use our resources. We will wisely budget. We will see that the causes of the kingdom of God are our passion and our priority. We will deny ourselves. We will set our treasures in the kingdom of God. We will serve Him with our time. Again, the causes of God in His kingdom, in His church, and in the schools, and in our homes, and all of the kingdom causes require our energy. They require our best. Shall we pray, Thy kingdom come? And then what will we do with the life's energy, with your strength? What will you do with your life, with your talents? Is the question then concerning what we will do with our life and our talents and our strength concerning me? What do I want? Or me? How to exalt myself? Or the kingdom of God? To be that servant in the kingdom of God? Will we use our talents for the vanishing world? Will we use our talents in the service of a vanishing kingdom of darkness? No. We will say, Lord, rule over my energy, over my talents, over my ability, that I may devote myself to the church and to my children and to my spiritual life and to my home and to the Christian schools. We will spend ourselves for that. That work of the kingdom is a hard work. It's a self-denying work. But its rewards. Its rewards are great peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. We will pray, Lord, rule over my relationships, my heart, my goals, my aspirations. Rule there. Thy kingdom come means that there will be commitment to God, to His church, to our homes, to the schools, to missions, to godliness, to righteousness in our life. Commitment so that all know what we're living for. So that they will know what we're living for as a young person. There won't be a vacuum. We will not be those who are living for nothing. No commitments. No commitments. Or as the world would say, they live for the weekend when they can get hammered. Or they live for the latest or newest or whatever it is. Thy kingdom comes means commitment to Christ, to His kingdom, and to His causes with all my heart. I love, my heart moves when I read 1 Chronicles 12, verse 18. 1 Chronicles 12, 18. The men of Israel were eyeing David over. Saul was dead. Were they going to commit to this shepherd boy to be their king? For 7 years they wavered on the fence. And then in verse 18 we read, then the Spirit came upon Amasiah, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thy helpers, for the Lord helpeth thee. Thine we are. Put our name down. We follow this king and his kingdom, the son of David. God's grace in your life makes you all in. I'm all in. For Christ, His Word, His kingdom, a righteous life. Thy kingdom come in me. Then the Catechism says, the prayer expands beyond ourselves for the advance, for the onward advance of the kingdom. We think now of Moses as he stands at the Red Sea when the people of Israel are crying, what are we going to do? And God says to Moses, speak unto them that they go forward, onward. Or we think of Jehoshaphat when the Moabites and the Ammonites have descended suddenly upon his kingdom. He's greatly outnumbered and he's overmatched. The multitudes have come against him. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that Jehoshaphat says, our eyes are upon thee, and we will go forth to meet them. For the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. So we ask in this petition, preserve and increase thy church. We ask for the advance of the precious kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is our desire. The church represents the kingdom of God. That's where the kingdom is to be found. The church is called to advance the kingdom of God. And the church is given the means for the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is His Word and Spirit, and the preaching of that Word in the life of the members of the church. And therefore, by the church, which is honoring the Word of God, and cherishing the Word of God, and living the Word of God, and preaching the Word of God, by that church, Christ builds and advances His kingdom cause. And so we pray for the church. Thy kingdom come is a prayer, preserve and increase thy church. We prayed, hallowed be thy name. And we know that God's name is tied to his church. God's name is tied to us here not abstractly, right here in this congregation, to you, not other people, to you and me, as we live together in this congregation. God's name is as much tied to Georgetown as a man's, as a wife's name is tied to her husband and a husband to her wife. The honor of your name reflects upon your spouse. So also, God's name is united to us. And we're praying, Lord, preserve and increase thy church. May thy church grow spiritually. May we grow together in truth and in love and in godliness. Lord, keep thy church on earth. If thy church is removed from the earth, where will be thy glory? It's something like when Israel had worshipped the golden calf and Moses prayed to God and God said, Moses, step aside. I'm going to destroy them. Look what they're doing. And I'm going to make a nation, Moses, out of you. And Moses prayed, Lord, you can't do that. What of thy name? What of thy kingdom? It's going to get around to the nations that you took them out of Egypt and now they're perished here at Mount Sinai. What will the heathen say about you, Lord? You can't do that. That's exactly what the Lord wanted Moses to say. And so the church is weak. And we lose sight of what the church is. We redefine the church in our thinking and it becomes shallow and it becomes lazy and indifferent. And now we're being taught, pray, hallowed be thy name. God's name is represented by us. Thy kingdom come. That is, keep your church strong. Keep her strong theologically. Keep her strong spiritually. Keep her strong in good works. Keep her strong in our mind. Do not think that the thought that the church is an afterthought. We've had a busy week. Oh, now we have church. It's a nice place. Church is a nice place. Don't think that way. The church is the center. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is the center of our life. For His glory, God will preserve His church and His kingdom on this earth in the 21st century. Everything else shall perish, but not God's church. It's still here for 2,000 years. Where is Rome and her kingdom? Where is Greece? Where are the movements of men? Where are they? They are vanished, and they shall all vanish. For 2,000 years, the dragon has tried to stamp her out. And now, Revelation 12, he is sending forth a flood of filth out of his mouth, hoping to wash the church right off the world, face of the world in unrighteousness, and to conform the church after the desires, after the dreams of men. To stamp the church out. But God preserves His church. He will preserve a humble people who love the Lord with all their heart and soul and Christ. He will preserve them. And there shall be a newborn church. People yet to be shall come and worship. There will be the fruit of converts. And the glory of God's grace among us in lands where darkness reigns. Christ's kingdom shall advance. He will preserve and increase His church. Satan knows this. Jesus said that He was the strong man who would enter into Satan's house and spoil his goods. And take us out of His hands. The church the church will endure even unto the end, despite her foes. And so we pray and we love the church. We love the church universal. Oh, we do. We do. And we love the church in her institutional form right here. Not simply abstract, but right here. She is precious to God. You, as the church of God, are precious to God. Will all of our sins and all of our failures, not what we should be, we, the church here, is not perfect. Our denomination is not perfect. How can the church to which you and I belong be perfect if we are her members? How can that be? We're sinners. So the church is not perfect. Shall we leave? Shall we leave for one that perhaps is better? Not over doctrinal issues, for one we think is better? One that doesn't have the hang-ups that irritate us? No, we must not do that, because then that church is not going to be better if we join her. We must be careful what we say about the Church of Jesus Christ, how we speak about our denomination, how we speak about other churches. Yes, we need to be careful. We need to love and hold forth the truth in humility and in love. That's the way we speak. And we need to be careful how we speak about our sister congregations in our denomination. It is God's church. It is not, as the TV evangelist says, my church. It is not identified with a man. It is not identified with a preacher. We are Christ's church. We represent His kingdom. We serve His cause. We advance His glorious honor in this world. And the church is not ours to criticize as we want. When you criticize a man's wife in front of him, you must be careful. Maybe that needs to be done sometime. But you will be careful in how you do it. The church is Christ. We see loose stones, but let us not come and kick them. Faithfulness is mixed with weakness in the church, as it is in our lives. Yes, faithfulness. Church here tonight, by God's wonderful grace, has faithfulness. We give God the praise. Faithfulness, not just weakness. Faithfulness in the Word. Faithfulness in doctrine. A desire to be faithful in Word and doctrine. Faithfulness in life. Faithfulness in the desire to rear our children. Faithfulness to live a godly life. Faithfulness in advancing the kingdom of God. God has given that faithfulness to us. That faithfulness brings humility. Brings great humility. It brings thankfulness. It brings prayers that we renew our efforts and we press on higher and to more. But you see, if we have only a critical eye of the church, we can't pray, "Thy kingdom come." There'll be no heart in it. And the children will see that in us. And therefore, thy kingdom comes means rule me in my attitudes, and therefore also increase and preserve thy church. Increase and preserve that church, O God, of which I have been made a member by the Holy Spirit, and use that church, O God, use it in the bringing of thy kingdom. And then we will spread the gospel. Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, is cast down by missions. The second petition, thy kingdom come, is a prayer for mission. God enlarges his church to the sending forth of his word. Therefore, as a church, evangelism is something very important to us, must be important to us in our community. Interest in evangelism in our congregation is an important thing to us. And as a congregation, we have also been blessed to aid and assist the Reformed Christian Church in Vellore, India. And therefore, thy kingdom come. Read those reports. Talk about this. Talk about evangelism. Talk about our own lives as being a witness before others. Also in our denomination, read the reports that are sent to us in the In Touch. We have missionaries that have been laboring themselves to weariness. Reverend Bransma in Pittsburgh. He's labored and labored and worked faithfully to get a toehold. Pastors Klein and Smith in the Philippines, they labor. God blesses their labors with many converts, so that now there are many demands upon them. They fly here and they fly there. God is blessing Pastor Andy Lanning in Singapore, Pastor McGowan in Limerick, and now throughout the whole world, wherever the name and the truth of the King is confessed, and wherever Christians seal their confession to Christ the King in their death. We pray for them. Lord, thy kingdom come. And destroy. Now these last two points, beloved, will be brief. Destroy thy foes and bring the final perfection, says the Catechism. The kingdom of God has opponents. Cruel, ruthless, merciless foes, the devil and his allies, who seek to, in the words of the Catechism, do violence, and which would exalt themselves against God. The wicked counsels that they have devised against God's holy word. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are not praying, Lord, may there be niceness over the earth. May there be a kinder, tolerant acceptance of all religions and all sexual preferences and all things, so that the human spirit can reach its utopia. We're not praying for that. We're praying, Lord, may the light of thy precious word, which is alone truth, and Christ, who alone can give peace and satisfaction to a heart, may that light be held forth in all strength, wisdom, and firmness in the midst of this world. And keep us faithful. Keep us faithful, Lord, humbly faithful to Jesus Christ as the only one who can bring peace to the heart. And obedience to His word. There's enmity between the world and the church. The church must not seek now to say, well, We can conform to the dreams of this world. We can conform to the desires of this world. We cannot. We will not. There is enmity between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, between Christ and the devil, between the believer and the unbeliever. We know that the kingdom of darkness is driven in hatred, as were we, against our King Jesus, and that they seek to exalt themselves above Him and to establish the Antichrist, the man of sin, and the unrighteousness of the man of sin, and the base evil of the worship of man to swallow up the world. And now the world is uniting itself against God's church, against God's kingdom, against God's Christ. And we pray, defeat Thy foes, O God. Defeat them in me. Defeat them in the world. Preserve Thy church. For we believe that through all the raging of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God comes. God is not out of control. And so this is not a prayer for universal spirit of acceptance based upon men. Man, it's a prayer that's a battle cry. Thy kingdom come. When you pray, Thy kingdom come, you provoke Satan. You say that by God's grace, you are on God's side. You say, I am not a neutral in love's battle. I will be counted on the Lord's host. We know that the violence against God's church will increase, but Christ shall come and take His church with Him to eternal glory in the final day, the day of glory. That's our hope. Thy kingdom come in its perfection when God shall be all and in all. And until that day, we will continue to pray, Lord, Thy kingdom come. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that it may enter into our hearts. We pray that there may be in our hearts love and loyalty for our King, for Thee, for Thy word. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.